All right, good morning, Half 7.
Good morning, Half.
All right, there's people out there, good.
All right. So I have great news for you today.
Good news. One, of course, Jesus is coming soon. We all know that.
And on a lesser note,
it's going to be a short sermon. So I'm a firm believer in saying what you've got to say and then getting off the stage. All right, it sounds like Mike's going to be kicked in the house. Let's deal with that.
Is the slides up?
Well, while he's trying to get the slides up, let's go ahead and pray one more time. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this glorious Sabbath day and the opportunity to gather together to worship you. We ask that you'll be with us today as we go over your word and study your message, and that we may draw closer to you, that we may one day join you in that heavenly kingdom. We thank you for asking things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. Very good. So my topic today is walking to heaven, which was appropriate with the songs we had, including the closing song we're going to have. And I didn't really realize at the time I started working on this that it was going to coincide so well with the lesson that we discovered today, which you'll see the correlation a little bit later, as well as the children's story. They all just kind of meshed together. Didn't plan it that way. I guess that was the spirit working behind the scenes. But on a second note, I do want to thank you again, Michael, for filling in today so I wouldn't have to do the Sabbath school lesson. I appreciate that. Not that I don't enjoy doing the lesson, but we've just been a very full plate for the day. All right, so let's take another look here at our scripture. It's Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now from this scripture, you can gather that my sermon is going to be about walking with God. But we have a few interesting facts to go over before we get to there. First of all, we have measured the distance from the earth to our moon at approximately 238,855 miles. If we could build a road that stretched from here to the moon and get on that road in a race car that drove 200 miles an hour nonstop, so I guess it had a big fuel tank, it would take us nearly 50 days to reach the moon. We've also measured the distance to the sun, course varies depending on the time of year. It's approximately 92,960,000 miles. Obviously, it would take an awful long time to get there in a race car, but if we built a spaceship that could fly at 500 miles an hour, which is not really fast for a spaceship, but it's pretty fast for an airplane, it would take us over 21 years to reach the sun. The light from the sun takes approximately 8 minutes to get to us once it leaves the sun. Now, if we could take that same spaceship flying at 500 miles an hour, it would take us over 20 minutes. Hit that one already. Back up. There we go. Sorry. But if we were to go to the nearest star, it's 5,692,054 years to reach a nearest star. Now, why am I talking about this? There's been a lot of movies recently. There's one coming out. In fact, I think it's already in the theaters right now about men looking for another home, men looking for another planet. And in this vision, they build these huge spaceships. They're able to take a portion of the population, a few people, and usually they end up on some world that has an atmosphere and water, and it's just a barren landscape. Fortunately for us, that's not our future.
Amen.
No one knows how far away heaven is. One thing's for sure, though, man will never build a spaceship to get there.
Amen.
And we don't have to, right? Fortunately for us, we don't need any special made roads. We don't need any special spaceships. And the way has been prepared for us. In fact, others have already made this journey, so we know the way is clear. And the person I'm going to be spending most of my talking today about is Enoch, which is mentioned only a few places in the Bible, but he's a very interesting character. Genesis 5:22-24, It says that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. A couple interesting things to note here. It says that he walked with God 300 years, but all the years of his life were 365 years, so he didn't start off necessarily walking with God. It was something he learned, so that's hope for all of us. And then Hebrews, Paul tells us, chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Okay. So we can see by these texts that Enoch walks to heaven. Right? And so can we. Now, I'm not suggesting this is a guide for bypassing the grave and going straight to heaven. You know, there's no shortcut for any of us. All that we are told that the saints still living at the end of time will not experience the grave. And we all know that time is growing here, so there's a good chance that we may not experience the grave. Right. However, whether you should die or whether you should be alive at the end and go straight to heaven, the final destination is going to be the same. We're all going to get there together, and we're all going to walk through those gates.
Amen.
Arm in arm and singing hymns. So what can we learn about Enoch's example? Paul tells us he was a man of faith because it was by faith that he was translated. He also tells us that Enoch pleased God. So how are these two facts related? Well, in verse 6, Paul says that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We can infer from this passage that Enoch believed in God and trusted that God rewards those that seek him. And since Enoch pleased God, we can assume he sought him diligently. If we are to please God, we too must diligently seek him and have faith that we will be rewarded. And we can seek God, best place, right here. This Bible from cover to cover is nothing more than a revelation of God. Seek him by reading his word and seek him on your knees. Now the prophet Amos sheds a little bit more light on what it means to walk with God. In chapter 3, verse 3, he asks a very simple question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now think of what that means. So if two people were going to go for a walk together, would it be important for them to agree on where they're going? Okay. Right. So if we were to go out here and to the roadway and say one of us were going to walk down to the interstate and the other person wanted to walk up here to Taco Bell, it'd be kind of hard to do that together, wouldn't it? So they have to agree on a destination. They also have to agree on a path. You can see from this example, this couple is coming up on a crossroad. Now, if they're not agreeing on the path they're going to take, what happens when they get to the crossroad? They get separated. Right? They could go their own separate ways. And we can do that too when God is leading us, we're walking with him, and we come to a crossroads in our life. And God's trying to lead us down one path, and we decide we want to go the other. That's a very dangerous point. If you make the wrong choice there, you could be separated, and you may never find your way back. Now, God is always going to seek you. But once you start down that path, it can get harder and harder and harder to turn around. Okay. So if we are to walk with God, we must first be in agreement with God. In order to agree with someone, you must know where they stand. There can be no ambiguity about the views or positions. Fortunately for us, God has gone through tremendous effort to reveal himself to us. First through his written word, and then through the earthly life of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in John 12, verses 44 through 46, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him who sent me. I am come of light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And so if we want to get to know God, we need to study his word, the Bible, and in particular, the life the teachings of His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent to reveal Himself to us. In this way, we can begin to know Him and learn to be in agreement with Him. Then let's go back to our scripture for the day. Our scripture for today points out another very important aspect of walking with God, and this will also tie in the Sabbath school lesson for today. Let's take another look. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We had quite a discussion this morning on what it is to be humble and meek. Please note that he specified specifically that we were to walk humbly with God. So Jesus points out in Matthew 18:3-4 what this means. He said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So what's it mean to humble ourselves as a little child? Right. So we got to learn to walk like a child does. We have to learn to trust God completely. If you think back to when you were children, for some of us it's a long ways back, for some of you it's not so far. But when you went for a walk with your parents, did you ever fear that they were leading you someplace you didn't want to go? No. Did you ever worry that they were at some point going to abandon you and just leave you? No, right? We had no doubt that we were completely safe and that they were taking us someplace good. We were happy just to hold their hand and enjoy the journey. Many times we knew the destination and eagerly anticipated our arrival because we knew that something wonderful was waiting for us, such as a walk to the ice cream parlor. That was always fun. Right? Jesus is saying that we have to have that same kind of trust and faith in God when we come to Him. Wherever He leads us, we can be sure that He has our best interest at heart. Now, He's going to lead us down some paths that may seem a little scary, but we can rest assured that He's always at our side. So if we're to humble ourselves as little children, we must put aside our petty wants, desires, and fears, as we discussed in Sabbath school. We must listen for the Master's voice and follow His direction. We must boldly go where He leads us, assured that we do not go alone, for He is always with us. Now, what's this got to do with Enoch? Well, Jude 14 tells us that Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 to the saints." Now, we all know the stories of how the world was before the flood. Mankind had strayed so far from God and become so totally immersed in evil that God had no choice but to destroy the world and start over. Yet God still loved even these rebellious children and wanted to give them every chance to repent. He used various agents to try to reach these people. We're all very familiar with the story of Noah and how he preached God's judgment and salvation for 120 years while he built the ark. Not 10 years, if you watch the movie, which I had the misfortune of viewing. 2 hours of my life I'll never get back. Unbelievable how far that movie strayed. But for 120 years, he preached. Nobody listened, but he preached anyway. And after 120 years, all he was able to get into the ark was his immediate family and a bunch of animals. So what we may not realize is that Enoch preached the same message centuries before Noah came onto the scene. We have a little bit more light on this from the Spirit of Prophecy. In the book, Patriarchs and Prophets, we read, "Enoch's walk with God was not in a trance or a vision, but in all the duties of his daily life. He did not become a hermit, shutting himself entirely from the world, for he had a work to do for God and the world, in the family and in his intercourse with men as a husband, a father, a friend, a citizen. He was the steadfast, unwavering servant of the Lord." Notice that Enoch's walk with God was revealed in all the duties of his daily life. Like in the children's story today, in that maraca shakes, those seeds make the sound of Enoch's life, the seed that he had been planting. That was revealed in his actions and in his work. Enoch was a husband and a father, and as such, he had a family support. Enoch had to work for a living, just like you and me. We don't know what he did. Bible was not real particular on that. Yet in all aspects of his daily life, his walk with God was revealed to those around him by his words and by his actions. Now, can you and I say the same thing? What do our words and actions reveal about our walk with God? Are we revealing the transforming power of God's love to those around us? Or are we just going through the motions of daily living, trying to stay below the radar and avoid uncomfortable situations? Are we seeking to lead others to Christ, or are we just trying to find acceptance by the world? Let's read on. On pages 86 and 87, we read, "In the midst of a life of active labor, Enoch steadfastly maintained his communion with God. The greater and more pressing his labors, the more constant and earnest were his prayers. He continued to exclude himself at certain periods from all society, after remaining for a time among the people, laboring to benefit them by instruction and example. He would withdraw to spend a season in solitude, hungering and thirsting for that divine knowledge which God alone can impart. Communing thus with God, Enoch became more and more to reflect the divine image." So Enoch trusted completely in the Lord, went among the people and presented God's warning of coming judgment and God's message of redemption. He revealed God to the people by his words and by his example. And notice that Enoch steadfastly maintained his communion with God. He was able to accomplish much because he maintained his connection with God through constant and earnest prayer. In addition, Enoch did not allow the world to sway him from his path. He would periodically withdraw from the world and its concerns to commune with his God and be spiritually recharged. We do the same thing every Sabbath. This is a time for us to commune with God and get recharged. That's why it is so important that we keep the Sabbath. Now, from the example of Enoch, well, this is going to be a short sermon, right? We can see that there are 7 distinct steps to developing a close and personal walk with God. First, we must diligently seek Him. We do that through studying His Word, through prayer. Next, we must have faith that we will be rewarded for diligently seeking Him. So you're not just going through the motions. You have faith that God exists and that God will reward your efforts and reveal Himself to you. We must understand that our final goal, what our final goal is, and how He wants us to achieve it. Now, that's going to be something He's going to reveal to you, as far as how it is. It's going to be different for all of us. Final destination is going to be the same, but how you get there may be slightly different. Number 4, we must get to know God by getting to know Jesus Christ. We can do this by studying the Word and the life and teachings of Christ. Number 5, we must humble ourselves and surrender our will as little children so He can lead us where He will. For most of us, this is probably going to be the hardest part. We tend to be very prideful, selfish, self-centered. You know, we know what we want. And in many cases, we want it now. And that's just not how it's going to work. We have to have our sights set on the bigger picture. And number 6, we must let our relationship with God pervade every aspect of our lives so that we can be a light to the world. Your relationship with God should be revealed in how you carry yourself at work, how you interact with people when you're in public, when you go to the grocery store, the gas station, when you're driving down the road, someone cuts you off, how you respond. I know that's a tough one for me. But it should pervade every aspect of your life. All your interrelationships with other people should reveal that God is working in you. And number 7, we must maintain our connection with God through constant and earnest prayer combined with continual study of His Word. And then, of course, coming together on Sabbath to praise God and rejoice and get recharged. Amen. Now, God may not be calling you to preach His Word, but we have all been called to reveal His love to the world. Amen. Like Enoch, we too have a message of coming judgment combined with an offer of salvation and redemption. We are to be God's witnesses in this world, in our words and in our actions. And just like Enoch, we can only do this keep our focus on the one who is leading us in this cause and like little children, we put our hand in His and walk where He leads us.